may you be in my words and thoughts this evening. May you help me to preach with authenticity and humility. Amen. Friends, today is, of course, Good Friday. We are here dressed in black with an empty liturgical table on this solemn holy day. A day of excruciating pain, a day of sorrow, and a day of mourning. Perhaps it's even a bit uncomfortable for us. It's the day that we remember Christ's execution by the state during his lifetime. It's a time in our Holy Week celebration that is somber and serious and even repentant. On the one hand, we understand that Christ dies for our human brokenness as a means to mend our relationship with God and therefore offers us hope. But on the other hand, it's a day that's dark and painful. As many of you know, my daughter is 7 years old. And every Lent in our home, we read about Jesus' death on the cross. So far, each year, about since she was starting at about when she was 4, she asks, "Mommy, why did Jesus have to die?" Her wonder has challenged me to think more deeply about this very question. I contend that it is such an important question for all of us to consider, and it will be the central thrust of my sermon today. Why did Jesus have to die? Each Sunday, we say the Nicene Creed together, where we affirm that Christ died, was buried, and descended into hell. We know that the story doesn't end here, but today it is our focus. The Nicene Creed gives us a dramatic and important depiction of what we believe happens on and through Good Friday. Our readings today remind us of the gruesome horror of that very Good Friday, and the real pain and sense of deep loss felt by those who followed Jesus at that time. In my preparation, I was reading some work from Richard Rohr, a contemporary Franciscan priest and writer. He has some excellent things to say about Good Friday. He says that nothing in heaven changed on Good Friday, but everything on earth changes. He says, quote, "On the cross, the veil between the holy and the unholy is torn, and the curtain of his body becomes a living opening. We all can enter the Holy of Holies, which is the very heart of God. Nothing changed in heaven on Good Friday, but everything potentially changed on earth." End quote. There is something so intimate about the heavens ripping open on Good Friday. There's something beautifully divine in that Jesus doesn't inherently change who he is or his important significance on Good Friday through his death. But instead, everything in our human understanding, our earthly world, changes in those heart-wrenching moments. This God, Christ, submits himself unto death on our behalf. And that the heavens are torn open in mourning and intimacy. Friends, I truly believe that Christ dies for each and every person here today. And that this is as much a powerful political statement of his time as it is a personal experience for each one of us. My prayer is that this is a season and a day when you feel utterly close to this Christ who died for each one of you. I contend that one of the reasons Christ must die for us is to fully take on and live into all that it means to be human. Christ's death on a cross is the ultimate form of the incarnation, as we all know the very real pain of our human existences. Some of us know the loss of a close loved one or even a child. We regularly see the horrors of war in our world, children who are starving in Gaza, and dislocated families from Ukraine. None of our lives are untouched by the agony of the pain that it is to be human. I believe that God holds and encompasses all the pain of this world upon the cross of Christ. And it is precisely for this reason that God intimately knows every burden that we carry this day. And none of what we carry is a mystery to God. And what's more is that this selfless act takes place in the full context of salvation history, This is a moment in salvation history when God's covenant is extended beyond the Jews to include many of us here, the Gentiles. In other words, God's covenant now includes everyone from all nations. Paul gives us a robust interpretation from Romans 11 using an olive tree. Now, of course, Romans 11 is highly debated amongst biblical scholars, but from my vantage point, Paul talks about an olive tree that symbolically contains two things, both the original covenant between God and the Israelites in the roots, and number two, us grafted on branch of this olive tree, which through Christ contains many of us here today. In Paul's letter to the Romans, Jesus now gives us access to this divine covenantal relationship as grafted onto this story of salvation history through Christ. At this point in my theological understanding, Christ had to take on the burden of death in order to intimately know all that it means to be human. And what's more is that all that we hold to be true on Good Friday can also be seen in the earlier stories of Christ's incarnation. Friends, it's no accident that Jesus rides on a donkey inside Mary's womb and then again into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. It's no accident that Jesus began his life as a vulnerable infant child, something every human experiences. His humanity is only fully complete upon death, which is another human reality that none of us will escape. Another thinker that came to my mind in my preparation was Henry Nouwen's writing in the book called Wounded Healer. He says, quote, "The great illusion of leadership is to think that we can be led out of the desert by someone who has never been there." End quote. Christ has been there and is, therefore, worth following. We gather in community here together for a very specific reason. It is in this secret place of darkness that we must find ways to be there for one another on this human journey. Nouwen goes on to say, quote, "It is possible to recognize that the craving for love that people feel resides also in our hearts. That the cruelty the world knows all too well is also rooted in our own impulses. Through compassion, we also sense our hope for forgiveness in a friend's eyes and our hatred in their bitter mouths. When they kill, we know that we could have done it. When they give life, we know that we can do the same. For a compassionate person, nothing human is alien. No joy and no sorrow. No way of living and no way of dying." End quote. Isn't that the call of Christ? Isn't that the call for all of us to be more Christ-like in the darkness that exists in our world? It's interesting to try to locate oneself in the passion narrative. Friends, I think it's decidedly wrong for us to too quickly assume that we would have chosen the position of the followers and the mourners in the passion narrative. I could have just as easily been taken in as part of this state. We all could have just as easily been taken in the crucifixion narrative in ways that would have been less than holy. And I think we must honestly hold this as a possibility for ourselves as we seek to follow Christ more fully now in our day and age. Some of you have taken part in the Forum series and Bible studies Lenten season, tracing Amy Jill Levine's work on the various bystanders of the crucifixion narrative, people such as the women, the soldiers, the two crucified criminals, just to name a few of those characters. I find myself asking, where would I have been? What characters would I have most closely aligned with if I had been alive at that time? Well, naturally, we can't know for sure, but I do think it's a worthwhile thought experiment to allow ourselves to fully identify with all of these various points of view that we find in the narrative. And sometimes, friends, we can give ourselves a bit too much credit, assuming we would have easily located ourselves as the followers of Jesus. My friends, the story is always more complex than that. In line with what Richard Rohr writes, quote, "Today, the primary human problem is both revealed and resolved. It is indeed a Good Friday. What is revealed is our human inclination to kill others in a multitude of ways instead of dying to ourselves, to our own illusions, pretenses, narcissism, and self-defeating behaviors." End quote. Jesus dies for all of those things and all of the people. Jesus dies for everyone, even the ones who crucified him. There's nothing like the fear of death that can really bring us into just how trivial our own illusions, pretenses, narcissism, and self-defeating behaviors really are. Our professor, Dr. Kate Bowler, writes about this in her memoir on being diagnosed with cancer when she was only 35 years old. She writes about coming to the end of herself. I can only imagine that coming to the end of oneself is nothing short of life-changing. There's nothing quite like coming to the end of oneself to remind us how truly human we all are. And on Good Friday, Christ comes to the end of himself. He intimately knows this feeling, and ultimately his death is life-changing, world-changing, earth-shattering. Richard Rohr seems to want to invite us into this experience, dying to ourselves in order to live more fully in Christ. In part, Christ dies for us so that we can share in the pain of those who surround us, like a wounded healer. I think the word for us today is that we must find ways to make space for deeper authenticity and being there for each other in this very community. The wounded healer now also says this: when we honestly ask ourselves which person in our lives means the most to us, we often find that it is those who, instead of giving advice, solutions, or cures, have chosen rather to share our pain and touch our wounds with a warm and tender hand. The friend who can be silent with us in a moment of despair or confusion, who can stay with us in an hour of grief and bereavement, who can tolerate not knowing, not curing, not healing, and face with us the reality of our powerlessness. That is a friend who cares. As we enter into Holy Saturday together, I want to remind you that Holy Saturday is this really beautiful day where we live in the liminal space between death and resurrection. I think that the liminal space between these two extremes is most in touch with what life is really like. It's a place where we remember the darkness that came over the earth in Jesus' absence from it. Because every day we see pain, suffering, loss, and war. But somehow we're holding that grief with the coming resurrection on Easter Sunday. There's also real joy in Christ coming on Easter Sunday, and real life means that we hold both joy and sorrow simultaneously.